Hi, thanks for tuning in to Soul to Profit Radio, where you will learn how to integrate metaphysical concepts with practical business strategies. Let's face it, life gets easier when you allow yourself to live an authentic, fulfilling, and prosperous life. You're about to hear an uplifting show packed with ideas and concepts that you will want to remember, so grab paper and pen and let's get started. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Soul to Profit Radio. I am your host, Jaden Sterling, and today I have an awesome show for you. You are going to love my guest and the topic today as well. It's right up our alley in terms of what we always like to talk about here on Soul to Profit Radio, which is having a soulful pursuit of abundance. And that is the theme for today as well, is prosperity, all about prosperity today, folks. So, I think you're really going to like the show. The title for the show today is How to Make Prosperity a Habit, Smart Money Moves to Turn Your Vision into Reality. And that's the really cool thing about my guest today. She is a big vision thinker, and her big visioning has brought her a lot of abundance in her life. And she's going to share with us how she works with mostly women, men too, but mostly women, to help them envision their prosperity and abundance as well. Ellen Rogan is my guest, and she is an abundance activist. Don't you love that? An abundance activist. She is on a mission to help the world think and act more prosperously, and a nationally known expert on living a life of success and prosperity. Ellen combines her credentialed experience. She's a CPA, CFP, MBA, and a successful business owner, with her years of study into personal growth, visualization techniques, meditation, and yoga to bring a unique approach to the subjects of prosperity, success, and happiness. She speaks as easily about the power of compound interest as she does about the power of belief. I love that. It's so cool. Ellen is the co-author of the New York Times bestseller, Picture Your Prosperity, Smart Money Moves to Turn Your Vision into Reality. You're going to love her. On a personal note, I met Ellen, I think it's been about a year or so, and we are both members of a business organization called the Evolutionary Business Council. And the first time I talked to Ellen on the phone, it was like I felt an instant kindred spiritual connection with her. It was amazing because, you know, it's not often that I get to talk to someone who is so grounded in the financial arenas and also highly spiritual. And you're going to love that she takes an approach to money and prosperity along with intuition. Like, it's right up our alley. So I, without further ado, I want to bring my very special guest on the show today, Ellen Rogan. Ellen, welcome.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here with you today, Jaden.
Well, like I say, I'm happy to have you on the show and excited to share you with my audience. You know, normally I just like to have like one-on-one conversations with you, and I pick your brain about, you know, abundance and what your takes on prosperity. And that's always been a really fun conversation that I've had with you. And I kept thinking, you know, I really need to share Ellen with my listeners. So thanks so much for coming on the show today.
Yeah, it'd be great. Great.
So tell me, Ellen, what got you started in the area of financial planning and the things that you do? Tell our listeners a little more about what you do on a day-to-day basis to help people with their finances.
Yeah, so I have a fairly traditional wealth management financial planning firm in the north suburbs of Chicago, and we actually are having our 25th anniversary this year. So for quite a while, I've been helping people figure out how to get from where they are to where they want to be using their money as a tool. And over the years, I started to get really fascinated by people's money personalities and why some people were super successful and other people were less than excellent when it came to their money, and really led me on a path of wanting to know more how prosperity worked and how our brains worked and how people's money personalities and their beliefs about money affect their results in life. You know, I've seen people who have lots and lots of money who are can be very worried about not having any, almost to the point where you would think they didn't have money, like they lived their life in so much fear that it was all going to go away. And then I saw other people who even had really modest means, but were so grounded and so content and so kind of on plan with what they wanted in their life that money just really worked well for them. And I realized it wasn't what most people think. It's not about how much money you have. I think lots of times people go, oh, gosh, if I just had a little bit more, everything would be okay. But we know that that's not really true. You know, it's much more about some of the inner work that we can do to help us get outer results. So that's kind of how I've come to this transition over 25 years of going from pretty left-brain typical financial planning to adding in some other tools and ways of looking at things and conversations with the people that I speak with, whether that's in front of a large group when I'm speaking or when I'm working one-on-one with people. And it's made things way more interesting for me and I think hopefully more impactful for the people that I work with.
Oh, I'm sure it does, because these are, you know, it's interesting because, like I mentioned in the intro, you have such a strong financial background, like having an MBA and being a certified financial planner and a certified public accountant. Like, you are, you know, the epitome of left brain financial guru-ness, you know, but then you bring in this really cool aspect that is in everyone within all of us, our intuition. Talk to us a little bit about that, how you actually combine the two.
I was thinking as you were saying that for many years I was fairly closeted about this other side of me. Like, it was, I would do my work and I thought I had to look and act a certain way to have people kind of trust me with their money and have those kind of conversations. And on the side, I was reading all sorts of stuff about how our minds work and beliefs and going to personal development seminars. And it's probably been in the last 8 to 10 years that I've really married these two. And interestingly enough, my business has skyrocketed since I started doing that, kind of bringing these two together. But we all have, you know, I like to say we live in a material world, and especially when it comes to money, we think that way. We think about the material things. We think very left brain about what it takes to be good with money. Most people would say, oh, it takes being a good budgeter or great with numbers or liking the analytics and all those kind of ticking and tying types of traits. But here's the thing, if that's all you do, then you don't bring in values or your why about why you want the money or your inner guidance about how to make financial decisions. Because we also, besides living in a material world, we also live in an ethereal world. And so this is the stuff we can't see. This is our creativity and our intuition and our values and our vision for ourselves for the future. If you just have one side, like if you're just on the left brain side and maybe doing every single thing you need to do right, but you are worrying about money all the time or coming home and kicking your dog and fighting with your partner, doesn't matter how much money you have, that's not necessarily a good thing. And on the other side, you know, in the spiritual community, I'll see people who are there like, oh, no, I visualize. They get all this, but there's a lot of meditating and chanting om and picturing prosperity and not doing anything in the real world in terms of taking action. And that doesn't really work either. Well, not usually. And it's when you can marry the two of these sides, your right and left brain, your intuition and the practical taking action side of things, that the magic really happens. And that's where that I see the results come out. You know, I loved when you, just even in your intro, when you were talking about like the spiritual way, but then having business success. It's the same thing, but we're talking about personal finances here.
Yeah, exactly. It goes hand in hand. And I know, like, from knowing you and when I researched for my book, also looking into other folks that have similar success as you, Richard Branson, and Howard Schultz.
Thank you for putting me in the same category. He has kind of similar success to me.
Along the same lines. I mean, hey, you're out doing TED Talks. You're a New York Times bestselling author. You're right up there with those guys. And, you know, and they talk about, like, how to use their intuition and, you know, that's been such an important part of their business. I know I've used it in my business as well. Something, you know, our minds can tell us and our left brain can tell us all about the numbers and the facts of something, but then we have to get really tuned in to what our body is telling us. And I think that's part of what I hear you saying too about the intuitive part, the ethereal part, which is, yes, you know, what are you feeling, sensing, knowing about something, whether it's the right thing or not, and trusting that. I mean, don't you think that's really the key, is trusting that even over what your left brain or conscious thinking mind is telling you?
I do think that it's a lot about trusting that, and I see that the financial services industry, which I've been in for my entire career, actually disses that. They really diminish, like, why would you want to be emotional or use your intuition when it comes to money? You should be totally rational. I mean, which is ridiculous. Nobody's totally rational when it comes to money. And I think what that has done, where it's really those left brain traits that have been honored in the media and many books and conversations on the financial side, is that many, many people have felt disenfranchised or not confident about their ability to make money decisions, because that those traits of intuition and creativity and focusing on your values and your why have never been honored. And I think it's a terrible thing. I think there's many people that think they don't have a head for money, or they're just not good at this, or they, I mean, I'll have brilliant, successful people say to me, oh, like this whole money thing, like I can't handle this, blah, blah, blah. Meanwhile, they've run amazing businesses, started incredible nonprofits, but somehow they keep telling themselves they're still not good at this, and it's just not true.
Yeah, exactly. You know, the only other person who I can think of that really does follow his intuitive guidance is George Soros, you know, the large money manager. And I remember reading an article that he wrote that said that he actually got guidance from a large stock holding, a position that he had on his books, and he got guidance in a dream that he had one night, that he, something like a bunny going down a slope on skis, and he felt like that was his higher self telling him to sell the stock because the stock was going to go down. And he sold it, and the next day news came out, and you know the stock went against him. So yeah, I think when we're awake and aware, and we can open up to all of the things that we do have available to us, it can definitely help. Like you say, maybe the industry doesn't support it, but when a guy like that is talking about getting information through dreams, I think that's pretty powerful too.
It's interesting. I never heard that before. That's great.
So let's talk about your book. I loved your book, Picture Your Prosperity, Smart Money Moves to Turn Your Vision into Reality. And in that book, you talk about creating a visual financial plan. What do you mean by that?
Well, people think in pictures. So we all do, or most of us do that. And so what we did was take the concept, which many of you listening may have heard of before, of creating a vision board and really turning this into more of a tool for financial planning. So what we suggest people do, and we walk them through this in the book, there's actually 32 images to start in the book, but you can do this with any images you have that represent things that you want in your life. So goals, dreams, and select images. We then suggest you go through a process of each image really getting in touch of what does this mean for you? What does it represent? And going through actually like a visualization process with each image. And then where this really differs from a traditional vision board is we have a different framework that we suggest people use. So an actual frame really for their images. So if you were to take a piece of paper and turn it horizontally and draw a line down the middle, from top to bottom and then from side to side, and the bottom left quadrant would be, the whole bottom would be for goals or pictures that really don't require much in financial resources. The top half would be things that do require more money. And then the left side for things that you want sooner, maybe 5 years or less, and the right side for things that you want to have happen down the road. So, for example, there's an image in the book of a person meditating. So maybe for someone that's a lower left-hand quadrant image, it may represent actually a meditation practice, or maybe it just represents feeling calm. And that might not require any money, and you want it now, for example. There's also an airplane image, and that might be, I'll tell you what it is for me, that's in my upper right-hand corner, and that's a trip I want to take around the world for a year, just take a whole year off and travel the world. Probably not going to happen in the very near term. We've got kids, you know, I still have a daughter in high school and in college, and would likely require financial resources, right, unless someone's hiring me to speak around the world and have it happen that way. But I'm assuming right now it's going to require money whether I'm generating it or not. And then from there, once your images are on the board, you can start to say, okay, especially for the images in the top half, you know, many of the goals or visions we have require some type of financial resources. Then you can go from right brain back to left brain and figure out, okay, how do I do that? How do I make that happen? What type of savings do I need to do? And what we found is that going through this process of really tapping into this a little bit of our unconscious about what these images might represent create a much more meaningful financial plan. You know, you mentioned I'm a certified financial planner. Well, we learn when we become CFPs that there's really things you should look at for people, like when do they want to retire and how their investment should be allocated. And so as financial advisors, we assume that people want to retire at some point and they want to send their kids to college and they need certain things, and we don't give enough leeway for people to come up with their own inspired visions of what's important to them. And the thing is, once you have this vision, then your why is so much more important. It's not just saving because you're supposed to or investing for higher return. It gives you a why do you want to do that, and it's to feed your vision. We found it so fascinating just in terms of what people come up with that they didn't even know they wanted for themselves in this. So it's a really wonderful process.
It is a wonderful process, and I enjoy the fact that it's not singular. It's not just all about what money can buy, but it's also, like you're saying, more of a, you know, what really drives people, you know, and you gave some really great examples in the book around maybe it's that you just want to spend a little more, you need alone time, you know, that I think one example was a woman wanted just a week alone, no family, no obligations, no commitments, you know, she just wanted time on her own. And then other people who, through your work, realize certain things, I guess, based on the value work that you do. And do you do that just solely in your workshops, or is that part of the workshops
that
you do?
We walk people through in the workshops. We do that clearly in the book. And then, you know, when I work one-on-one with people, we do that. Sometimes I also have some other tools I work with, depending on what kind of relationship we have. But it's really so fascinating how people will come up with goals that they didn't even know, or maybe that, you know, I could have worked with someone for 20 years. I was telling the story the other night when I was speaking in a group how one of my longest-term clients, I've had, you know, 27 years of working with this person who happens to be my husband. When we went through the prosperity picture with him, he put the, there's a sailboat image, and he put it on his board, and I said, oh, what does this mean? And he said to me, you know, I have always wanted to take a trip in the Caribbean with friends on a sailboat for like 2 weeks. Now, I've been married for 27 years. I had absolutely no idea this was something that Stephen wanted. At the time when he told me that, I just smiled and said, oh, that's so great. I didn't know that. And later I fessed up a little bit to him that when he said friends, I was hoping he meant other friends because I get seasick. Absolutely no desire to be on a boat for 2 weeks, but would love to support him in getting his goal.
That's great. Yeah, and you know, and I also like too that you gave these really neat tools in your book that people can use, and one in particular that I absolutely love, and you know, to all our listeners, of course, you'll absolutely love Ellen's book. Definitely purchase the book, work through the chapters in the book. It'll change your life. I totally believe that. And then also, I really enjoyed that you offered up this prosperity circle, and so. Tell our listeners a little about that. How did that come about, and what's involved with creating a prosperity circle?
Yeah, I'm really glad you asked about this because community has been on my mind a lot, like top of mind this week. And when it comes to money, people are so private and to the point that, you know, we don't tell anyone, and not that I'm saying you have to do this, but because we're so secret, you don't tell anyone how much money you make or what you have or how much debt you have, or there's this like cloak of secrecy, and maybe you have a financial advisor or an accountant. A lot of times spouses don't even share this with each other, which can be a big problem. But the idea is to create a circle, a group of people that you walk through the activities in the book together so that you have support and encouragement. And our book is very deliberately positive in tone, and there's so much shaming and so much guilt that people have around money about how they've handled it or haven't handled it or secrecy, and it just doesn't serve people well. And if you so there's activities throughout the book, and then on our website we have like a facilitator's guide for people to form groups to actually work through these ideas together. And it's having accountability is a really wonderful thing for us, especially if it's positive accountability. Again, this idea of having community around a topic that typically is so siloed, so solo, is hopefully new and inspiring and supportive for people. So that was our motivation behind suggesting people set up prosperity circles for them around them.
Wow, I really like that. I believe anyone can benefit. I mean, even if it's, you know, if your circle is your you and your significant other, you know, if that's who you bring in to working through this guide that they've posted, I really think a lot of people will get a lot of value from this. So thank you for doing that. And you did, like, that was just a part of you giving back, it seems.
Yeah, I mean, really. You know, this whole book, I wrote another book before this called Great with Money that I think is a really great book. This book, Picture Your Prosperity, I have to say was so, the energy behind it was so much more about serving the world than the first book. And not that I didn't want to do that, but it was more, if I'm being totally honest, like, okay, I want to have a book, it'll give me more credibility, there's good information in here. And this one was about, you know what, there's so much suffering out there with money and so much of people feeling bad about the way they're handling it or thinking they're not good at it when they're actually awesome or could be awesome, that Lisa, my co-author, and I just really kept that in front of us. Like, we want to make a difference in the world. We want people to be so comfortable with their money, move past this worry of I'm not going to be okay to how much can I give, because what I know is when people can make that shift, like, of course, there's always enough. I'm living in a place of abundance and prosperity, and if we shift to how much can I give and realize that giving is actually one of the best tools to build your own prosperity, then the world will change for the better. And I hate to see people suffering around money and breaking up relationships. It just doesn't have to be that way. So that was the motivation behind writing the book. And as a result, it was so super fun and so much easier to write than the first book.
That's wonderful. Yeah, and I love the quote. I forget who said this, but you can't outgive the universe. I think that's, you know, it's a really good reminder. It's like, just keep giving like you're doing from the heart and know that it is getting in the hands of people who really need to hear the message. So tell us, you know, let's talk a little bit about ways or things that people can do starting today to reach their financial goals. What are a few things that you recommend?
Okay. So in addition to creating your own prosperity picture, which puts a big frame around your why, you know, some really tactical things, and you don't have to spend, you know, every minute of your day forever and ever doing this, but I think it's important for people to do an assessment of where they're starting from, so knowing what's flowing in and what's flowing out. I don't like the word budgets because I don't think anyone ever stays on a budget. They don't work for people. What we recommend instead is a values-based spending plan. So the idea behind this is looking at, okay, what's coming in terms of income? What are your expenses going out? A realistic look. Most people spend more than they think they spend. And then to take that summary and start to look at, okay, does your spending correlate to your values? And so a values-based spending plan goes through each of these categories that you figured out you spend money and give it an A, B, or C priority. So, for example, if your home is an A priority, it's where you most want to live, it feeds your soul, then everything that goes with that house or most things like taxes and insurance and a certain amount of maintenance also have to be A. And down to C priorities, which like, okay, you know, you spend it, you don't really care. And that way you're able to reallocate your resources towards things that are important to you. And just to share a brief story about a woman, I actually just had coffee with her last week, who went through this activity, and for the first time really ever in her life, and she was an adult with successful family business, looked at what was flowing in and out. I say it was a successful family business, but she hated it. She hated this. She was working with, you know, family members that didn't get along. She didn't like the integrity in the business. And what she realized that was that her home was no longer a big priority for her. Her kids were grown. She was divorced. She had a mortgage on it. She actually had run up some credit card debt and made a big decision to sell her house and buy a condo in Lake Michigan. So beautiful view of the lake. Downsized, which for some people might feel like not a prosperous thing, but for her it was just beautiful. She got rid of her mortgage, paid off her debt, cut her expenses so much and lived in a place she liked better, she was able to actually leave her family business and start her own consulting firm. Is as happy as can be doing super meaningful work. So, and I think this is a way that media can get in our way too. We think that that would be a bad thing. Or maybe yours is to, you know, someone listening's is to have a bigger house or whatever, but it doesn't necessarily look like what you think it might look like. And going through just this one activity was the catalyst for her to change everything in her life for the better.
I love that. I absolutely love it because we can all look at our own situation and go, okay, yeah, what do I value? What's important to me? And what are the actions I can take in order to align my finances with my values? So at the end of the day, I'm really living the life that I truly want to live.
Right.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Wow.
And doesn't that feel better than like the restriction of a budget that just has people feeling bad?
I agree, but I've never liked budgets. That you're right, they don't work, and just the energy behind it really speaks to lack rather than abundance.
Right.
So
yeah.
Excellent. Well, Ellen, each guest I ask the two same questions, and my audience loves to hear the answers to these questions because these are people who are entrepreneurs, business owners, coaches, and women, mostly women, who desire to align with their purpose and to really create a business that they can earn money doing what they love. So they wait for these answers to these questions. So are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. The questions are, the first one is, how did you discover your purpose? And the next question is, what steps have you taken to turn your business into the profitable category?
Yeah, so I would say it happened in stages. I had the first download of what I'm here to do came well before I actually started running my business that way. I didn't make the connection. I didn't have the support like you're giving your community to get. There could be a connection right away. And that download was that my why I'm here is to inspire others to achieve their greatness. All of a sudden that came down. I'm like, whoa, that feels right. I don't know what it means, but it felt really right. And then you know, and so that was playing in the back of my mind. And then I'm going through, like, the 90s, building my business, my financial advisory practice, we have two kids. They were little at that point. And it was really, for quite a long time, my business felt like work. Like, okay, like, I got to do this, and it can be profitable. And it was such a left-brain business, and so all my business-setting goals were around left-brain things, like how many clients I got, what my revenues would be. And then in the early 2000s, I really just got clear that what I do for people, it can be of so much service to them. And I know it's like the same thing, or it seems so obvious, but at the time I didn't have any attention on that. You know, if people have so much worry around money, the markets were really bad in 2001, 2002, and I just was like, oh, my God, people need us more than ever now. And people are so freaked out about money. It doesn't seem like that after we went through 2008, 2009, but that was like the first big recession I had ever been through as an advisor. And once I shifted my attention to how I could help people and what they really needed from me, how I could serve, everything shifted. My business grew 39% in a down market. And Jaden, I know you know how that works, but for those listening who aren't in the financial services industry, a lot of my revenue is based on the assets that I manage for people and people hiring me. And so when my financial advisor friends were decreasing their revenues by 40%, mine increased that year. And I wow. absolutely believe it was that shift in perspective. I still look at those financial goals, but I spend a lot of my visualization time and my energy on how can I serve. And I do this with my speaking, too. That's been a business that's grown a lot in the last, I don't know, 5 to 10 years. And so I go around the country, a little bit out of the country as well, doing speaking to all different kinds of groups, whether they're in the financial services industry or women's organizations. I'm going down to Texas to speak at the Texas Women's Conference soon. And I spend a lot of time thinking, how can I provide a message that will most serve the people in the audience? And what I love is that shift from, like, worrying about me to how I can serve has me doing my best work. And it doesn't mean that I am selfless service, right? I want to be profitable. I have to be if I'm talking about prosperity, right? Like, I know that's a big part of what I need to do is have my businesses be profitable, which, you know, thankfully, they have been. Did that answer your questions?
That sure did. That was a beautiful answer. Yeah, it's really powerful because that, you know, oftentimes when we think about aligning with our purpose and think of, oh my gosh, you know, what kind of business am I going to create from it? It does bring up some fear and worry and concern, but that keeps the focus on us. But if we make that leap to, which you did, to being of service, it takes the focus off of us and it puts it right on our message and what we desire to share with others and to create the goodwill in the universe. That's pretty much what I heard you say.
Absolutely. And I think a lot when I'm talking to friends who are about to do a big speech, and I had this woman the other day who was introducing me saying, oh, I really get nervous in front of women, speaking in front of women, which was, you know, she's very articulate. And I just had her shift her attention onto what the message that she most wanted to share with those people. And, you know, it's one of the best stress reducers I know because it keeps me from focusing on me and putting the attention on them. And it seemed to have been a great strategy for not only, you know, getting rid of speaking nerves, but also building my business. And people get that, right? They get it. If you're trying to sell and you're focused on, oh, my God, I really need the sale, even if you're saying the perfect words, people are going to pick it up at a level that they might not even be conscious of.
Yeah, and, you know, many of the listeners on our show are coaches and entrepreneurs, and so they're wearing many hats, and they're doing many things. They may be, you know, an author like you. They may be speaking and coaching as well. So how did you, or which came first, your speaking or your book writing?
Well, the speaking kind of came by accident. When I started as a financial advisor, the guys I worked for wanted me to do cold calls. and which was like so painful. I hated that. And I thought, no, I don't want to do this for very long. So I started with like a Dale Carnegie public speaking course. I had never done any public speaking before, and I just started speaking to groups. And it was a way to build my business initially. And what I realized, it was like, you know, this is really fun. Like, I really like this, and I think I'm doing a pretty good job of this. The audiences seem to be learning. And so that, for the first 5 to 10 years of my business, was really just a way of growing my business. And I had this vision of, like, oh, it'd be so cool to get paid to do this. That would be really awesome. And I knew, like I said, with my first book, I knew that a book would be really helpful to give me credibility for speaking. And so I wrote and self-published my first book, and it did just that. It got me into a consulting arrangement that ended up generating my second book. I worked with my co-author Lisa King's company to help design a women's workshop, a financial workshop, and we turned that workshop into our book. So I think they all led into each other. But definitely my advisory practice, then speaking to generate that, and then a book, and then more speaking.
Yeah, and the events, for instance, like the one you're doing in Texas coming up, did that come from your most recent book, or how did that come about?
That was really great. We're speaking at the Texas and the Pennsylvania Women's Conferences, which are these huge women's events, and we just got called to do that, which I'm super excited about. There's some really great, it's going to be just tons of fun. And Lisa and I don't often get to speak together, but we are going to at this event, at these two events, so that'll be fun as well.
That'll be great. Wow. Well, congratulations. That's fantastic. And what's the last thing you could leave our audience with that will help them picture their prosperity?
Well, I would say that I'm going to give three ideas that will help boost your prosperity more than anything I know. One would be to actually create a prosperity picture for yourself and spend some time looking at it, posting it somewhere. The second thing would be to set up a voluntary automatic savings plan for yourself so that you set up money going into, whether it's a retirement account or a savings account or whatever makes sense for you, on an automatic basis. And then also set up an automatic giving account, where you have a percentage of your income going into an account that is later to be given to charities or people or causes that speak to you. And if you do those three things, whether you're just starting out or very advanced in your business, you will be shocked at how your prosperity starts to skyrocket.
I totally agree with you. When I read that in your book about setting up that automatic giving account, I thought, that is so brilliant. And I've never heard that before. Like, you guys tuned right into that, and it was so, so powerful. So I'm glad that you wrote about that, and that you also, that's one of the principles in your creating the prosperity circles too. So Ellen, you're a gem. As you know, I'm crazy about you, and I love what you're doing out in the world. And I would love to have you back on the show, gosh, like quarterly at least. I mean, I know you're full of wisdom, and we scratched the surface of your book. There's so much more to talk about. So, yeah, please tell our listeners where they can find out more about you and your work.
Sure. So the easiest place is ellenrogin.com. That's ellenrogin.com. And if you go to ellenrogin.com/goodies, G-O-O-D-I-E-S. I have some really great resources, meditations, and some other goodies there for you to help you on your path to prosperity.
Wow, that's fantastic. So everyone, please do yourself a favor. Go out, get Ellen's book that she co-authored with her friend. It's called Picture Your Prosperity, Smart Money Moves to Turn Your Vision into Reality. You will love the book. It's not one of those dull, boring financial books that you have to, you know, that you fall asleep reading. Not at all. It's one of those incredible financial books that you can learn so much from that will change your finances starting now, no matter how much money you have to start with. Ellen, thank you for all that you do.
No, thank you. What a joy to be with you today. Thank you so much.
It's our pleasure. Have a terrific day, and we'll talk to you soon. So there you go, everyone. Ellen Rogin, she's a gem. I mean, you can tell from her heart and what she's saying in terms of how to picture your prosperity and bring that vision into reality. Don't you love that she talks about using both sides of the brain, you know, and talks about tapping into your intuition? It's like she gives everyone permission to think in terms of what your intuitive side is saying about money and abundance and finances. And that is really the thing that I admire most about her work. And she truly walks her talk. I mean, I met her recently in Vancouver this past summer, and I mean, she is so abundant and so humble all at the same time, which I love that about her. You know, there's no ego, and you know, there's nothing, none of that going on. It's just a matter of someone who is truly prosperous and highly spiritual. And I mean that word, I don't mean any kind of religious connotation with the word. I mean, you know, you've listened to my show long enough that it is more about the metaphysical concepts and working with energy and vibration. And that's what money is. It's simply energy. And it's the energy of two things. It's discipline and creativity. And when you combine those two energies, you create more abundance and prosperity in your life than you can ever imagine. And for some of you who, you know, like a little more training or coaching on this, please come to our live event. It's November 5th through the 8th. It's 4 days. It's called Upgrade Your Finances. And it's an event where we walk you through, you know, how to create a financial plan. So we get into the, you know, the basics of financial planning, and you'll leave there with your very own customized financial plan for you. And then also, though, we work with the energy, the metaphysical concepts around money and around drawing more abundance to you. And just like Ellen said, you know, so many people learn, you know, create a budget. If you want to have more money, you know, create a budget. And like she says, they don't work. I firmly believe they don't work. You probably know they don't work because you're living proof of your own situation in your life. If you've tried to use budgets, they simply don't work. They're focused more on lack rather than turning your mindset and tuning into how to create more abundance in your life. So that's something that we'll cover during those 4 days. Something else we're going to cover is we're going to talk about how to create. I'm going to give you strategies to instantly give yourself a 35% pay raise each and every year. 35%. So like Ellen was saying, her business grew 39% in a down market. Well, you're going to learn, no matter what the economy is doing, you're going to learn how to give yourself a 35% pay raise each and every year. I'm also going to share with you how to create multiple streams of income. You know, if you only have one stream of income called a J-O-B, or maybe you and your significant other have a job, that's only two streams of income. So if one of those streams were to go away, or both to go away at the same time, chances are you'd be in a lot of trouble. I mean, the statistics tell us that less than 50% of households in North America have more than $500 in savings. So that's not enough to cover, you know, monthly expenses, depending on what your expenses are. So I teach you how to create multiple streams of income doing those things that you already love to do. You know, that you can call them a hobby, you can call them a passion, you can call them whatever it is, but whatever you're currently doing, you can actually earn money doing that thing that you love to do. So how about that? Wouldn't that be cool to learn how to create abundance and money from your passion and your hobbies? Well, we're going to learn how to do that. In fact, you're going to create 10 multiple streams of income during the course of those 4 days. Additionally, we're going to walk you through how to create a money mindset, because that's really key. You got to have a money mindset in order to have more abundance coming to you. When you create a proper money mindset, it works with the subconscious mind, which works in direct connection with the superconscious mind, and that connects you right out to the universe and to your higher self, which makes life so simple and easy for you. You're going to be amazed. So please email me for more information about the upcoming course. I only teach it once a year. It's November 5th through the 8th in Calgary, Alberta, right near the airport. So you can fly right into Calgary, Alberta. It's an international airport, and they'll shuttle you over. It's a five-minute shuttle ride. Email me at jadensterling@gmail.com, jadensterling at gmail.com for more information. And remember, this week, do those things that fill your soul and your wallet. Thanks for listening, everyone. Take care.